from Thinking Man's Filter, Brother Bram said, oh my, there is that real filtration of all of the sin of the world, and the love of the world is dead, and this soul is drawing only one thing. Here it is. Don't remember it. Don't forget it. All of you out there on the telephone, set this down in your mind. When a thinking man begins to think who he's going to stand before and what the Word of God is, when he begins to think, then when he draws through that, there's nothing that can get it but the Holy Ghost. And what is it? It's the germ, seed word from the beginning, that you was in God at the beginning. So just think of yourself. Now, remember, Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundations of the world, and you were predestinated to adoption before the foundations of the world. So it goes way back, you know, and really, you didn't receive eternal life, you know, when you were 20 or 21 or whatever. You received eternal life before the foundations of the world. You were in his mind. So, you know, well, you're going to find out one day who you really are. And this is really exciting. So anyway, he said, what is it? It's a germ, the seed word from the beginning, that you was in God at the beginning, standing there drawing the seed. The seed is in your heart by foreordination. Hallelujah. The seed is already in there by the foreknowledge of God, predestinated. And when it draws, it can't draw through nothing else but the Word. And then it's a taste of a thinking man, a righteous man, the holy man who sees the Bible, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What comes into that place down there? That Word that's in your heart. I've hid the Word of God that I sin not against thee. What is it when it's drawing through the Word? There's only one thing will pass through the Word. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the only thing that can pass through the Word is the Holy Ghost. And a thinking man's filter gives a holy man's taste. You know, many people say, especially among the Pentecostals, you know, oh, glory to God, I got the Holy Ghost. No. A lot of people have the unholy ghost. You know, the Holy Ghost will make you live holy. It'll make you live, you know, according to his word. You will not choose the things of this world. Okay, so he makes the type that the word is actually a seed. A germ of life, for a seed is a carrier of life. It carries the life, so he wants you to think of God's word as a seed. A germ of life. And as a seed, it is predestinated to carry the life. In other words, look at the seed, any seed. What you have in that seed is what you get. The Bible says that every seed after its kind. So genetics began when God stated the word, every seed after its kind. He called it predestinated. Why did he say it was predestinated? Because everything that the seed will ever become was placed in the DNA of that seed. And at the right time, with the right light, and with the correct amount of watering, it will begin its journey, or it will begin to manifest everything that's in that seed. Now, I remember years ago, I told the story. That was at Brother Vail's church. That I said, my daughter, you know, she... You know, I told my daughters, I said, well, just think about a seed when you think about predestination, because everything that's in that seed that seed ever will become is already there. It's already predestined there. It's already predetermined there. And so that's the way with predestination. Just like, you know, you plant a wheat seed, you're going to get a wheat. You plant a watermelon seed, you're going to get a watermelon. So every time you're eating watermelon and you spit out the seed, just think, there's another watermelon right there. All right? Well, I remember saying that, and one of the little children up there at In Grace Gospel, they said to me, or they said their dad, you know, he asked them after church, he said, well, what is predestination? And she said, it's a watermelon seed. So anyway, she got it halfway. But anyway, so that's just an example of something that's predetermined, okay? Now, from the spoken word's original seed, Brother Bram said, now, Jesus is the Word made manifest. He and the Word is one and the same. And that's why it was so made manifest in him so perfectly. That's the reason that God manifested himself so perfectly in Jesus, because he was the seed word, the germ word itself, the germ that's inside the seed, that the life in the seed. You get it? See, it was he was the germ word of God. The germ is the spirit. The germ is the water. And Jesus had to be broken open there in order for that seed to let forth its life to water other seed that was coming. Do you see? Even he said, other sheep I have that's not of even of this fold. I have. They're going to see that, they're going to get that word and stay right with it. And I'm sending forth the spirit of water to it, and it'll produce just exactly. It'll produce miracles. It will produce the power of God. It'll produce, and it will not deny anything, because it is a kind seed. It is a kindred seed with the seed. It can't say, Mr. Cockleburr, you come with me, and no, sir, I won't do it. No, indeed, it just won't mix. Can't mix death and life. You can't be dead and alive at the same time. Mm-hmm. Now, notice the germ that's inside the seed, that's the life in the seed. And then he said, and it will not deny anything, because it is a kindred seed with the seed. So being that it is a kindred seed with his seed, then it cannot deny anything he said, for a man thinketh in his heart, and out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Then what Jesus said, he was. It's his DNA coming into view. And your DNA comes into full manifestation when you speak what he said. I just hope you're catching that. God is life, and he is the word. Therefore, although he is an invisible being, for he is a spirit being, yet he has DNA in him, and it is in the form of the word. So God's DNA is his word. Why do you think God made man in his image, after his likeness? He made us to be a carrier of his DNA, his life. Now look, your DNA has in it every detail of your existence. I mean, the attributes and characteristics that make you what you are. And so if you are one of his children, then you are seed of his seed, life of his life. Then he had to place part of his own life in you to express himself. So that's who you really are. You see, a miracle in your life is that you were sown another seed. You were sown in sin, shaped in iniquity, and come to the world speaking lies. That was a human seed of your earthly parents. And like all other seed, you come in the image and likeness of your earthly parents. But God, through predestination, planted in that seed another seed, which is his seed. Now, he did not do that with every seed. He chose you by foreknowing which seed he would do this for. So God chose you, and he didn't choose others. It is that simple. And he chose you to come into his likeness one day and to manifest his nature. And sometimes you are more comfortable in your parents' nature than you are reflecting his nature. I'd like to explain. Brother Vale, as a seed of God, still had a very terrible time totally reflecting only God's nature. He said to Brother Brown, would you pray for me? I want the love that you have. Now, he was looking at his nature, the way he reacted to certain things, certain trials that he had. But Brother Brown said, Brother Lee, you have that love. Brother Brown said, maybe you just don't understand what love is. He said, do you do things for others just because you're a Christian that you would not do otherwise? Brother Bell said, yes, all the time. And Brother Bram said, well, that is love. That's the reason you do it. Now, you might ask, then why was he so quick on the trigger? Well, he was, and yet he did it. He did not like being quick on the trigger. If anybody of you, you know, if any of you ever had really good talks with Brother Bell, he'd tell you he despised himself. All right, just like Brother Bram said, my greatest enemy is William Branham. Brother Vale didn't like that. But you see, he had that nature that he was born with, was the result of his human parents. But down inside was another nature, the nature of God. And the human nature was so strong, and the nature of God so timid, that you could see that that quick trigger nature, you could see more of it than you could see of his God nature. But you did see his God, his love and his devotion to the Word of God, but you also could see the other nature. So it confused him and you. But God knew what was there. So God, in his wisdom, allowed the devil to make Brother Vail so get so sick until he became so weak that his earthly nature had no fight left in him. And then God took him home in that sweet spirit, only manifesting himself. I remember I came there and he was dying, and he had been in a coma all week, and because I had seen him on Sunday, but then Monday or Tuesday he came down in a coma, and he was in a coma again on the Sunday that I visited, the next Sunday. And so I laid my hands on his hand and I said, well, I'll pray for him. And so I said, Brother Vail, this is Brother Brian. And when I said that, he looked up and he had such a sweet expression. And he said, oh, Brian, how wonderful. And so, you know, so he was ready at that time. He had lost his fight, okay? And he was just such a lovely person and lovely Christian. And God took him home, all right? So that's all I'm saying is that, see, sometimes the nature that you children, listen up. The nature that you are born is the nature of your mom and dad. But when you receive the Holy Ghost, things change in your life. Your focus changes. Your life changes. You're directed toward God. You children that have been baptized, just remember, the Holy Spirit is very timid, but he will let you know. If you do wrong, he will let you know. And but if you might get confused sometime, who's talking to me? Because you want to do certain things, that's the nature of your parents. But when you don't want to do those certain things, that's the nature of God. Like I asked my granddaughter one time, I said, does God ever talk to you? And she said, yes. She said, I remember I was going to steal a piece of Dad's candy, and he spoke in his word and said, thou shalt not steal. So you see, she became tender to that, and that prevented her from taking the candy. Now, I wish the kids would do that all the time, right? But even we as adults, we have our nature, we have the things that we've lived with for 70 plus years, and then we have God's Spirit directing us. So we see the things in our spirit that God wants us to do, but how we get there, sometimes we want this spirit to get us there. In other words, we want to take our ways to get there. Like David wanted to put the ark on the, he wanted to get it there. He wanted to get it home. You know, it had been stolen in a raid. So he wanted to put it on his, the people that he knew, he wanted to put it on their shoulders, and God struck them dead when they touched it. And then they realized something was wrong, and they consulted the prophet, and the prophet said, hey, it's got to be on the shoulders of the Levites. So even David, a man after God's own heart, had trouble discerning between his thoughts and God's thoughts. God's thought was to get it home. His thoughts was how I'm going to do it. God's thought for you is I want to get you home. Your thought is how am I going to get there? Okay? You got to just surrender to God. Just let go and let God, and he'll have his wonderful way. We sing that song. Now, the Apostle Paul was the same way. In 2 Corinthians 12 and 7, he said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he, God, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, the weaker you get, the stronger God becomes. All right? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities than in the power of Christ may rest upon me. And Brother Vail, you know him, Brother Nathan and Brother Josh and different ones. You know Brother Vail always put himself down. He always talked about he gloried in his infirmities like Paul was, okay? So anyway, from trying to do God's service, Brother Brown said, now, we find that God had a way of doing things, but David, just being blessed of God, like he had to become, he just thought that he would do something for God anyhow, and he never went about it in the right way. we notice God reveals his word in his own predestinated season. Now, how could Martin Luther have known about the message today? How could the Presbyterians, or Martin Luther or the Catholic Church know Martin Luther's message? How could John Wesley have known Luther's message? How could Wesley have known the Pentecostal message? Or how could the Pentecostals know this message? See, he reveals it in his season because it is a seed, and it grows and matures, and he reveals himself. So, just in saying, Brother Don was so much the same way, all right? He wanted to go home so bad, he started unpacking years ago, and his motto was, last day, last dollar, is that right? All right, but the problem was that although his motive was right, he wanted to meet God his own way, and so when he was in the hospital for 7 weeks, he could not understand why God was not taking him, and he got frustrated, all right? And so he got upset with the doctor. He got, I won't say upset, I'll say he fussed. Because if you have that operation that opens up your chest, they take your heart out, they have to operate on it, put it back in, and now you've had that same operation twice. Can you imagine the pain every time they compressed his heart, push down on his chest? He just didn't want that anymore. He wanted to go home. He wanted to go home so bad he could taste it, but he wasn't going. He was frustrated, okay? And so he was upset. I don't blame him. With the doctor who saved his life and the staff who cared for him and even his own loved ones and family. And so in my last visit on week 7, I said to him, Brother Don, I know how you suffered. And I know how you want to go home. But you will never meet God in your current condition. You're fussing too much. God wants you to die to self before he is ready to take you. You need to be sweet. You will be remembered by your testimony. You want to be so sweet that you will know that you are that they will know that you are a Christian. And until you are ready to meet God on his terms, he will just let you lay there looking up with nowhere to go. He wants to meet you on his terms, not on yours. So I told him, Brother Vail also wanted to go for 20 years more. He told me he had his reservation in to go home for more than 20 years, but couldn't figure out why God wasn't ready to take him. One day at 97 years old, he lay in the bed and was not responsive to anything. The brother said that he has been in a coma for a week, so he probably would not even know that I'm there. So I went in to pray for him, laid my hands on him. He looked like a skeleton of 80 pounds. I laid my hands on his and said, Brother Vail, and I was surprised. He opened his eyes and said, Oh, Brian, how wonderful. He had such a sweet spirit. Less than a week later, he was gone. He had passed over the riven veil. So now, and Brother Don received what I had told him. He said to me, Yes, I know you're right. Will you pray for me? And so we did. And so you see, I said to him, Don, I know that you're suffering, and would you like me to pray for you to go home? He said, yes. I said, okay, but I said, you're not ready yet. So, you get real sweet and everything, and God will get you ready, okay? Well, he did. Then a short time later, he was released to go home. He told his wife what had taken place and made right with her and those around him. Then a week later, he had to go back in, and shortly thereafter, God took him. But he was ready on God's terms. So you may sit in a hospital bed, you may sit in your own bed for weeks and months and even years, and you want to go home. That's the Christian part of you. That's the Holy Ghost part of you. But the part that was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth the world speaking lies, will get upset and will make things hard on others. Well, God wants us, you see, the character you leave here with is a character you'll have on the other side for eternity, because you won't have this body. You won't have a chest that's been operated on. You won't have these pains and these things that you suffer through. You're going to be sweet people. Remember Brother Bram, everybody he saw was so sweet over there. That he even one woman, she was so beautiful, he said, and she go, don't you remember me? I was 90 years old when you led me to Christ. And she was so sweet and beautiful. So that's my message really to you, is get sweet. Get that sweet spirit on you. Okay? Then a short time later, like I said, he went home. So you know, God had been preparing him for years. He went through the same surgery of about 3 years before, and he was aware that God was preparing to take him. He knew time was short, but was still caught between the two worlds, his and God's. God even gave him a dream that he didn't understand at the time, but in that dream, and this was about a year after his first surgery, he had this dream. And in the dream, Sister Mary Graham and Sister Delly Green came to, you know, he was actually on the other side. He told me, he said, I was on the other side. And he said, and they were there. And they said, oh, Brother Don, it's funny seeing you here. And he said, Brother Bram said, you'd be surprised who made it. Well, just to let you know that God had to prepare the whole case to where he took Mary Graham home about almost 2 years ago, just after his dream. And then he took Delly home last year, or this year actually. And they were there to greet Don when he came over. So you see, we don't understand how we're going to get there sometimes. Here's our dream. Here's our vision, okay? I see myself in eternity. I see myself as one of the family of God. But how I get there, and if I'm not careful and let God do it for me, I will try to get there on my own. So, you know, or any way I can. And I just want, you know, in other words, stop fussing. Just let go of this life. Let go of looking at your fingernails and all the other girls in church, you know, in school. I mean, not in church, but in school have fingernail polish on. Just let go of that. Just be a Christian. The best Christian you can. You know, don't look in the mirror of the natural. Look in the mirror of the Word and say, how am I looking according to that? Okay? Then you're going to be fine because your heart is set on Him. Your heart is set on eternity. All right? So, anyway, so God gave him his dream that he didn't understand, but now he does understand it. You see, we didn't understand it until Don was gone, and then I said, hey, isn't Sister Delly Green dead? Isn't Sister Mary Graham dead? Wow, God gave him a dream to prepare him. He saw the dream, and now he's seen the dream. He's actually seen the fulfillment of it, okay? So, and the truth be known, both of his sisters died sometime back, one about a year, 2 years ago, and the other 6 months, before they were waiting there, so they were waiting there for him to come, just like the dream told, and I believe they were actually there to greet him, just like God showed him it would happen that way. So rest, my friends. God is everything in control, showing how great a loving Father he is. He knows your end from your beginning, and he does not need, nor does he ask, our input. Okay? He will carry out his plan as he planned it before even the world existed. Remember, it's him working in you to will and to do. You're not even working. You're at rest. Let him work for you and will for you. Okay? So, he will carry out his plan as even before the world existed, because it was in his mind. Remember, as long as you are in this body, this death, you have no thought coming. Just let go, let God, and have a wonderful and marvelous way. Even the prophet David allowed his own spirit to put the ark on the shoulders of those who desired, instead of the shoulders of the Levites of God that God had wished for. So sometimes the Holy Ghost in us sees what God wants us to do, but he lets our own spirit within us make our own choice as the way it should be done. And we have got to learn how to crucify our own desires and let God have his way. God allowed Brother Vail to lay on his back, and no Brother Vail left to fight with before the world took him. Before he would take him. He won't have that quick trigger over there. You know that? Brother Vail is going to be the sweetest person you ever met. And he won't have that quick trigger, because that's his earthly spirit. But he's got his God spirit, All right. Brother Branham told us the character we depart with in this world, we will have over there. So your spirit you were born with has to die to his spirit that is within you. Then we will spend eternity with that spirit. Now, won't that be wonderful, Levon, that you won't have an old curmudgeon to fuss with? I mean, that fusses at you because, you know, I don't always... You know, I don't know. You know, I've got this body to deal with, okay? But over there, I won't have this body to deal with. So anyway, it'll be a real true love. All right. Now, Romans 8. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So if you have his spirit, you're guaranteed it's going to be raised up. Amen? Not a hope so. Not a, you know, I'll press myself into it. I have nothing to do with it. It's all about him. So Brother Bram said in his sermon, hear ye him, and every word of God is a seed. And if that seed can be planted by the inexhaustible fountain of life, which is Christ, the believer has to drink beyond his imagination. Drink and push out. Push out everything you have need of, because it's in you when you receive Christ. And we are planted together in Christ, and he is the inexhaustible fountain of life. And don't never be afraid to ask big things. God wants you to ask big things. He don't want you to be a petty and be juvenile. He wants you to ask big things that your joy may be full. Could you imagine a little fish about, say, this big, way out yonder in the Atlantic Ocean saying, I better drink just a little bit of water because it might run out? Nonsense. Could you imagine a little mouse down about, you know, that big down there in the great garners of Egypt saying, I just better eat 2 grains a day because I might run out before summertime? Well, that's nonsense. If they had 10,100 rats that size, they'd never have eaten it up. And they had billions times billions of tons of them fish. They'd never drink up the water. And how many times could we multiply? You could never exhaust God in his powers and his mercies to his children. He's the inexhaustible fountain of life. Just drink and drink and drink and drink. So what else can I say? You know, just be at rest and just be looking forward to that day because it's coming. So both brothers died with dignity, and God honored them and took them home. Those of you who can't seem to overcome your trials out there, it's because you first have to overcome yourself. Can I say that again? Those of you who seem to have your trials out there, it's because you first have to overcome yourself. You may wonder why God is not healing you. Maybe you're not ready to be healed yet. Maybe the problem is that you are getting in the way. So just let go and let God have his way. Maybe you have something that you have to make right. Maybe your opinion of yourself is getting in your own way and God is waiting on you. Now, Brother Brown said, my greatest enemy is myself. So I ask this question, looking at everybody's eyes. Okay, how about you? Whose greatest enemy do you have? And I hope we can say the same thing. It's ourself. Okay, from God's power to transform, he said, now, what is the transformation? Quickly. What do we get it? How does the transformation come? God does it by the Spirit of his word. He transforms. He plants his seed, throws his spirit on it, and brings forth the product. His Holy Spirit transforms the seed word to be vindicated of his kind. What kind of seed are you? That shows just what's in you. You can't hide it. Whatever you are, it shows outside. You just can't keep from it. You can't make that tree anything but what it is. See, it's going to be that way. The Holy Spirit transforms the seed that's on the inside of it. No matter what kind of seed it is, it'll transform it. If it's evil, it brings forth evil. And if it's a hypocrite, it'll bring forth a hypocrite. If it's a genuine word of God, it'll bring forth a genuine son or daughter of God through a thinking man's filter. And when the seed comes up, it comes through that. It produces a son and a daughter of God. So be at rest. You can't produce wool as a sheep. You just bear it. It's natural just to make wool. Okay? So what kind of seed are you? That is the question he wants us to consider. What kind of seed are we? From the spoken word's original seed, he said, my. He said, Christ is now taking himself a bride to be pregnated with his own seed word in her womb, spirit womb, and in her mind, and won't mix with any denominational trash with it. She is a virgin to him. Oh, I remember sitting there in the room 3 days ago in there, praying and waiting on the Lord and fasting. When that struck me, I thought, oh God, what is it? Here I am at a picture. Here I am. If I bring up this much to the church, where will I be? I'll have them on a limb. What can I do? I've done seen the church as every type and shadow and everything else shows she's gone. What will you do? And then I thought of that word, I will restore, saith the Lord. There you go. You might have found yourself wayward. You might have found yourself, you know, maybe in the wrong church or, you know, in the wrong word or whatever. But you know what? You're here today. Why? Because God took a hold of you and gave you his word. And I will restore, saith the Lord, I will restore. Remember the old pine tree, when the fire hits her and burns her down, she shakes off the seed, though. That seed brings forth a new one. That's right. The old trees are burned up with organization and everything else, but there still remains a seed of the word. And if it's God's word, it'll come right back, reproduce itself just as sure as the world. Yes, now she won't miss it. You're not going to miss it, brother, sister. God has everything under control. So he's talking about how God transforms that seed by his spirit. His seed, no matter what condition it is in, God is here to transform that seed by his spirit and his word. Remember, it is nothing that you can do. Just leave it up to him. It's not him that runneth, nor him that willeth, but God who shows mercy. And that is what every one of us needs, is his mercy. Okay? From power of transformation. See, where we got to walk and understand, same as in the times of Noah's seed word. It erected a floating transformation from the earth to the sky. It sounds crazy to the people to have a little cult like Noah had, and he had them and said, thus saith the Lord, God has spoken and there's coming a rain. Science and the educated and the religious of that day said, look, look at that old quack. He's getting old. His mind's slipping, see? But he was right because he was vindicated prophet. And then at the end time, his message was truly vindicated. What would he do? He transformed from the earth by the to glory by an ark of the word that he was preaching. He was transformed. The scientific spray rotted the rest of them in the judgment. They rotted upon the waters of the judgment of the flood. What are the people trying to do today in this great scientific age of education, the Eden Church, restored again to its Eden, scientific condition instead of the Word? The Word. Are they exalting the Word of God? Is the people trying to exalt the Word of God, or are they trying to exalt themselves? Which is it, I wonder? The church? And then we wonder why the world is rotting under germ warfare. He said the world the world has chosen science over the word. And what was the result? Sicker than they were without the science. And those who chose science, even though it was a fake science, over the word, they are the ones who are the sickest among us. And the evidence is very apparent. So from seed is not here with a shuck, he said, notice Sarah, the tassel that had the pollen, the Jewish nation raised from her, come out of Sarah, brought Isaac, through Isaac brought Jacob, Jacob brought the patriarchs, and through the patriarchs brought forth a nation. Mary, the virgin, faith, produced the true spiritual seed made word. See, the three women that this seed was carried through One of them was actually an adultery under polygamy. The second was a free woman, and the third one had no sex at all, affair at all. But by faith, she believed the word of God. Hagar, Sarah, and both Sarah and Hagar was sex. But Mary was a virgin by the power of a promised word. That's right. Oh my. So this is so important. I just hope to stop here. Notice all three women had a seed, but one did nothing to get that seed. She simply believed the promise of God to her. That's all you have to do. Just simply believe and just let the results, let him take care of the results for you. And you know what? You're gonna end up a better person than you thought you could. You thought, well, I'm going to try this and try this and try this, and it just always fails. But he won't fail. He won't fail. You are going to be so beautiful and so nice and sweet, and he's going to do it. It's him in you working to will and to do, okay? Now, from the masterpiece, he said, now, he's doing the same thing in his never-changing method. We find out in Malachi 3, he said, I am God, I change not. He cannot change his method. Now, as he started in Abraham, after the fall of the first masterpiece, he started in Abraham on a foundation to build another masterpiece. He started on the day of Pentecost to build another masterpiece. The original seed word started in the first church, and what was it? The seed word, the word manifested, that promised that had been given. Joel said, it shall come to pass in the last days, God saith, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. What he would do in the last days to the last 2,000 years. Now, we look at the 86 signs and events he is doing at his parousia. And not one of them did he need help from anyone else to do it. All right, Jesus said, he told us the signs that will follow the parousia. And he is in us here to will and to do his good pleasure, not ours. And he places this will to do what he wants done in you. So he's doing it. He's doing it all, then why worry about signs and event number 82? He will do just as he did in signs 1 through 81. He did them all. We didn't even know they happened until finally one day our eyes opened and said, wait a minute, what will be the signs of thy parousia? What will be the signs? Well, I'll give you 52 signs, he says. And see, one day we saw. Look, we believe the parousia first, but now we see that Jesus said there's signs that will let us know what he's doing, okay? So from the spoken word, God never placed signs ahead of his word. Amen. That's the scripture. God never placed signs ahead of his word. They were added for the proof of the word, but the word is first. That is exactly scriptural. They said, what will be the signs of your parousia? What will be the signs that you are here? And he said, this sign will happen, and then this sign will happen. And he gave us 52 of the 86 signs, and then Paul and Peter and James and John added the rest. The signs came after he arrived. He was here, and then the signs began to show. All right? Brother Bram continues, to prove it, Elijah said to the woman, bake me a cake first, then watch the miracle happen. Come to the word first and then watch the miracle. The seed word itself is what the Holy Spirit energizes. How can a messenger sent from God just believe some of the scriptures and not all the word or deny any part of it? And from spoken word is original seed. Now, the womb. Eve received the wrong seed word. Now listen real close. We're going to drive this right down. If the Lord willing, she received the wrong word. What did it do? It was Satan's lie. He said she'd be wise. Why? She could belong to the biggest church or big church, and she'd be well thought of in the city. Why? She'd be like the rest of the people. Sure, that's exactly what Jehovah's Bride believed. That's exactly what Satan would have tried to have said when the word come to Mary. But she shook him away. She was stronger. Said, how can this be? Said, the Holy Ghost will overshadow you. It's the word of God. Said, be it unto me according to thy word. That brought the life. There you are. Well, did you know that Satan said, they'll all laugh at you. That little rosy-cheeked girl didn't pay any attention to that. Right up in Judea, she went, and you know, I'm going to have a baby before she even felt anything, because the word had already been set there. That was it. She didn't have to go through the prayer line the second time. No, she said, yes, sir, she believed it. She didn't have any sign of life. She never had no sign of pregnancy at all. She never felt nothing. She never, her everything had been just like it was before. But she went telling everybody, I'm going to have a baby. Why? God said so. That's what the royal seed of Abraham. Just like when we had the great thunderstorm and kind of shut down the service, and I said, I want to sit down, and he said, what are you sitting for? And I said, well, Lord, I just didn't have any words. And he said, take charge of the meeting. And I thought, how do I take charge of the meeting? But you know what? I got up in obedience to it, and then he gave me that mental vision, and I saw Jesus sitting in the boat, and it was a long vision, about maybe 30 seconds, or mental vision anyway, and he said he's at rest in the boat. The rains came, and the apostles were all afraid. And he sat up in the boat and said, peace be still. And it was still. That was an example. Well, then I saw, went to take my second step, I saw Brother Branham in a mental vision. And he was running around the tree, and the squirrel was chirping at him. And he was so happy because he had just stopped a storm. Well, so then I thought, well, I'll just keep walking. And so as I walked, now I had three or four more steps. But on my walking to the pulpit, the devil said, you're going to make a fool out of yourself. And you know what my first thought was? Like the sister said to Brother Don in the vision, you know, in the dream, you know, funny seeing you here. He said, Brother Ram said, you'll be surprised who makes it. Well, I said, I'm a fool for Christ. Whose fool are you? And because I remember about the man, you know, had the thing on the front, the placard, and said, I'm a fool for Christ. And so people would turn and look at him, and then when he walked past them, he said, whose fool are you? That's my thoughts for you this morning. Are you going to be a fool for Christ? Because you're going to be somebody's fool. All right? Well, anyway, and then what happened? He had me take charge of me. I said, I take every spirit under my control for the glory of God. And I didn't know from Adam, but you know what? I saw the prophet do it. I saw his older brother, Jesus, do it. And I said, well, if the older brother does it, the other brother does it, I can do it too. And I walked up that pulpit and I said, I take every spirit under here under my control for the glory of God. And I prayed, and that rain stopped and the storm stopped. So, you know, all I'm saying is when the word comes into you to do a certain thing, do it. Don't think of other people. That's the thing I liked about Don the most, is Don didn't care what you thought. He was going to say it anyway, if it was God's word. Now listen, we believe God's word, spoke of his parousia of God, even before we knew anything about there being signs and events associated with the parousia. Why? Because he said he would appear to us. He said he would manifest to us, because he said there would be a parousia in this day. Because Brother Branham said thousands of times he is here. His presence is among us. Because he said that he would descend with a shout, which is a message that God said not only he would be here with a shout, but also he would come down and be here with a voice, which is resurrection. And not only that, but he also said he would come down with a trump, which is a catching away. So he does all three things in his descent. So he's doing them, and he's going to do them. So we're looking at for all three. We're not satisfied to say, well, I received the message, which is the shout. So that's all I need. We want it all. We want the shout, the voice, and the trump. Because we want everything he has come down to give us, and we are believing for the rest of it to manifest itself to us, just like the shout already has. Okay. Now for power transformation, he said, look at you here. How many's had that experience? Every one of us. We've had that experience. Because it was spoke, it was believed, and the word came forth and fell into the bed of the heart, and there it growed right out of it. See, transforming yourself, his Holy Spirit transforms the seed word into its likeness. like if a pear tree brings forth a pear, apple tree an apple, things like that. His word will bring forth sons and daughters of God. That's what it's supposed to do. And from wisdom versus faith. Now, you see that the seed word cannot grow in that atmosphere then of knowledge. Is that right? See, as soon as knowledge mixes with faith, it dies right there. So don't try to figure things out. Let God be God. All right? Eve comes and said, the Lord God said, the day that we eat thereof, that day we die. Then she stopped to see what he'd say. He said, but listen, my dear, you lovely little thing. See, sure, God made you for a purpose. You know, that's right. See, you're a woman. You were made for a purpose. That's what it is. You don't know it now, but you were made for a purpose. Oh, you're a lovely little dear. Look at those little dainty little hands. See, why, sure, he would. Surely. But he said, if we did, we'd die. He said, but oh, do you think that a good, loving father, God, would do a thing like that? What did she do? She listened to reason and took his wisdom and said, it's a tree of delight. What can be desired of it? And she fell for it. That's exactly when she did. Listen, what did she do? Here it is. She got to look at the fingernails. Well, the other girls have fingernails. I'm going to put fingernail polish on them. She got to look at, you know, well, you know what? They're wearing these kind of clothes. I'm going to wear this kind of clothes. In other words, she got to looking at herself and she said, oh, I guess I do have a lovely body. And he says, yeah. He says, that's right. He says, you're beautiful. So that's what a woman's supposed to do is, you know, look at all the animals out there procreating. You're supposed to do it that way. But see, God said it would be a spoken word seed. She couldn't wait. She looked at all the other creation and said, well, I guess I am. I just guess I am. No, you're not. I'm sorry, sister. No, you're not. You see? You do it God's way and you have God's results. Don did it God's way. Brother Vale did it God's way. And they end up having God's results. Okay? So, as soon as you fall for it, it finishes it right there. Right? That's right. Now, you see, the seed that she was holding on would have finally become a mother by the will of God through the spoken word. She would have finally become a mother, but she couldn't wait and went into that. Can't you see how pure his word is? It's all you need in this hour or anything or any hour. It's pure word seed. You mix it with anything else and it's no longer pure word life. Now, in closing, from the spoken word is original seed. The first son was spoken seed, word of God. He was given a bride. I'm just reviewing the spirit, and I was picking up what I said. See, a bride to what? To produce himself. She fell. See, what did she do? Because she produced the Satan, the seed of the serpent. She fell. See, that's what the bride was given, to produce himself again, another son of God, but she fell by hybriding. See, produced himself, but she fell, caused him to die. The second son, a spoken seed word of God, was given a bride like Adam, but before he could marry her, she had fallen also. For she was put to free moral agency like Adam's wife was, to believe God's word and live, or doubt it and die, and she did. Who's that? Sarah. She said, take Hagar, I can't do it. I'm too old. And God said, is anything impossible for God? But she laughed and said, I'm just too old. Take Hagar. And it produced, the wars are still going on to this day between Hagar and Israel. Now, from the spoken word again, he said, now the power of the believing church, Christ, has all the power in heavens and earth. You believe that? Then what if he's in you? Has Christ got all the power? Matthew 28:18. All right. He says, you know, he is the word seed. He is the seed word in his body, and he in us becomes the seed word in us. What all that God was, he poured into Christ, and all Christ was, he poured into the church. That's the power. See, Jesus said, you know, all power has been given unto me. Well, if it's all given unto him, then, you know, he said, but I've given it to you. It's in there, brother. It's in there, sister. all his power is in you. Now, again, from spoken words of urgency, let's take John 20 to start with. All right, take John the 20th chapter and see John the 20th chapter. We're going to begin at the old, I'd say about the 19th verse, John 20. I believe that's what I got marked down, and begin to 19th verse. Now listen close. I challenge you to believe this. Oh, I just feel good. Oh, if I could just, I wish I could see the Holy Ghost just huddle over here like that and say, now it's me. Listen, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for the fear of the Jews came, and came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said that, he showed unto them his hands and his side, and his disciples, his side. And they were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you. Oh, are you ready? As my Father has sent me, he's the Word, the seed, the Word, so send I you. You believe it? Don't stop there. There's more. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit to them, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, I said this before, but just to brush up it a little bit. There's a difference between forgiveness and who sins you remit. You see, because if you remit them, we're talking about you are giving to, unto them. As a brother shared the quote earlier, you are giving, you imparting life. If you impart life, they have his nature in, they have God's nature in you. If God's nature is in you, your sins are remitted because you won't ever want to do sin again. So you see, there's a difference between just forgiving a person who can do it again and again and again, 70 times 7, or remitting their sin altogether. So don't we want to impart life? All right, how does it come? It comes by seed word. Now, from the spoken words of original seed, then the works will be manifest in him are the same. For it is the same seed word of God. God's Son was his example seed. And what his life was when the Spirit poured upon him after his baptism and the Holy Ghost come upon him, the very life that he produced will, that same watering Spirit of the Holy Ghost, will bring forth the same kind of life, doing the same thing that he did. It's the same Spirit. Son of God's seed will bring forth a Son of God's seed. Now, shame on you women with bobbed hair. Shame on you preachers denying the truth. Say, it's all right. Hair has nothing to do with it. But God said it did. You know, I remember Sister Vail, and I'll just say this. It was 1964. And, you know, Sister Vail, you know, she cut her hair, right? And so Brother Vail already had the Holy Ghost. Brother Bram said, the first time I saw you, I knew you had the Holy Ghost, yet he had never been baptized. Brother Vail shared with him that Jesus said, see, John said, you don't need to be baptized. I should be baptized of you. Jesus said, suffer it to be so. For so becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. So, you see, it's not a matter of the length of your hair. That has nothing to do with it. It's a matter of submitting to the will of God. That's it, entirely. Just, do you want God's will, or do you want to do what other men's will is? And so Sister Vail, Brother Vail, and he and Brother Bram talked about a woman shouldn't cut her hair. From that point, Sister Vail never cut her hair again. All right? And the minute you decide in your heart that that's what you're going to just give him yourself. You're going to give him your hands. You're going to give him your hair. You're going to give him your dress. From that point that you've decided to give, then God sees you just like he saw his Son. He sees you as perfect because he's now looking through the blood that was shed for you from before the foundation of the world. And if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unbelief. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, to have your word. It's the most important thing in our life. to have your word. Even sometimes we might not understand it, but let's hold to it anyway. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.